The following is an excerpt from Matthieu Ricard's book, Happiness, A Guide to Developing Life's Most Important Skill. Buddhism speaks of pervasive suffering, the suffering of change, and the multiplicity of suffering. These correspond to the three modes of suffering: visible suffering, hidden suffering, and invisible suffering. Visible suffering is evident everywhere. Hidden suffering is concealed beneath the appearance of pleasure, freedom from care, and fun. A gourmet eats a fine dish and moments later is gripped by the spasms of food poisoning. This type of suffering may arise at any moment in life, but it remains hidden to those taken in by the illusion of appearances and cling to the belief that people and things last, untouched by the change that affects everything. Invisible suffering is the hardest to distinguish because it stems from the blindness of our own minds, where it remains so long as we are in the grip of ignorance and selfishness. Our confusion, born of a lack of judgment and wisdom, binds us to what we must do and avoid doing to ensure that our thoughts, our words, and our actions engender happiness and not suffering. This confusion and the tendencies associated with it drive us to reenact again and again the behavior that lies at the source of our pain. If we want to counteract this harmful misjudgment, we have to awaken from the dream of ignorance and learn to identify the very subtle ways in which happiness and suffering are generated. Is there any way to put an end to suffering? According to Buddhism, suffering will always exist as a universal phenomenon, but every individual has the potential for liberation from it. As for human beings in general, we cannot expect suffering to simply vanish from the universe, because in the Buddhist view, the universe is without beginning or end. There can be no real beginning because nothing cannot simply come from something. As for a real end, in which something becomes nothing, it's equally impossible. As it happens, wherever life exists in the universe, so does suffering. Disease, old age, death, separation from loved ones, forced coexistence with our oppressors, denial of basic necessities, confrontations with what we fear, and so on. Despite all that, this vision does not lead Buddhism to the view held by certain Western philosophers for whom suffering is inevitable and happiness out of reach. The reason for that is simple. Unhappiness has causes that can be identified and acted upon. It is only when we misidentify the nature of those causes that we come to doubt the possibility of healing. The first mistake is believing that unhappiness is inevitable because it is a result of divine will or some other immutable principle, and that it will therefore be forever out of our control. The second is the gratuitous idea that unhappiness has no identifiable cause, that descends upon us randomly, and has no relation to us personally. The third mistake draws on a confused fatalism that boils down to the idea that whatever the cause, the effect will be the same. If unhappiness had immutable causes, we would never be able to escape it. The laws of causality would have no meaning. Anything could come from anything else. Flowers could grow in the sky, and light create darkness. And as the Dalai Lama says, it would be easier to not go to all the trouble of constantly ruminating over all of our suffering. It would be better just to think about something else, to go to the beach, have a nice cold beer. Because if there were no cure for suffering, it would be pointless to make it worse by stressing over it. It would be better to accept it fully and distract oneself so as to feel it less harshly. But everything that occurs does have a cause. What inferno does not start with a spark? What war without thoughts of hatred, fear, or greed? What inner pain has not grown from the fertile soil of envy, animosity, vanity, or even more basically, ignorance? Any active cause must itself be a changing one. Nothing can exist autonomously and unchanging. Arising from impermanent causes, unhappiness is itself subject to change and therefore can be transformed. There is neither primordial nor eternal suffering. We all have the ability to study the causes of suffering and gradually to free ourselves from them. We all have the potential to sweep away the veils of ignorance, to free ourselves of the selfishness and misplaced desires that trigger unhappiness, and to work for the good of others and extract the essence from our human condition. It's not the magnitude of the task that matters. It's the magnitude of our courage.